place, Lord. We worship you in this place today. We thank you, Lord. It is your name, it is your glory and honor. It is not ours, Lord. We worship you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God of Gods, the Creator. Lord, we thank you that every bit of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, Lord, is truly, Lord, inspired by you. You breathed it out upon the men, the prophets, the apostles, the people you chose to write the words down. We thank you that every word is living and powerful, inspired by you, anointed, and that it is truth. And so, Lord, we ask you to just open our eyes to see what we need to see, open our ears to hear what we need to hear. And, Lord, we pray it today in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to welcome everyone to Fire and Grace Church this morning, those watching and listening all over the place. We're finding out, in fact, my wife made me a little note here. So a lot of the people here that have written us real letters, snail mail letters, actual letters, with somebody actually took the time to write, which is nice. Not that emails are bad, but it's just not as prevalent today to see real letters. But Pam in Texas, let's see, Gary and Tracy in Texas, Ed in Ohio, Stephen and Sherry in Alberta, Canada, Mike and Carrie in New Mexico, Tim in New York, Brent in Indiana, John and Laura in California. And of course, I got to say happy birthday to Rebecca in York, England this morning, and to my buddy Paul there. They're watching live this morning for us, but it's about, is it about 4 in the afternoon there? But happy birthday, Rebecca. Anyway, we got a lot to cover this morning, so you can get your Bibles out. We will be reading some scripture, but I do have a PowerPoint this morning. And anyway, this is going to be, I don't know if this is going to be a two-part series or a three-part series. We'll see how much we can get through next week. I was going to try to put it all on you today, but I thought, yeah, I don't guess we'll do a two-hour message today. But There was a prophecy that was sent to me, and this prophecy is very old. We'll get to it in a minute. I don't want to spoil it, but this prophecy is very old. It goes back many thousands of years, but that in the last days there would be a revelation given to basically the people of the last days, and it's called the sevenfold doctrine of the whole creation would be given. And it's pretty amazing when we're going to get to that toward the end of this message. But it's been brewing in me, and a brother I didn't know, brother sent this to me. Greg Nichols in Colorado sent me this. I don't know how I missed this in all the study and research over the last few years. But we're going to be looking at, this is a series on creation, a.k.a. the Flat Earth Awakening. So what I've entitled this today is the series is going to be called The Sevenfold Doctrine of Creation. But part one today is The Flat Earth Awakening Continues and Why It Matters. And for some of you, this is not going to be a lot of new information, but I think it's still going to help you. Especially those out there, listen, there's still a lot of Christians running into other Christians who say, what does it matter? What does it matter? What is the truth about the shape of the earth, the true nature of the sun, moon, and the stars? What does that matter? Well, I'm going to show you why it matters today. First of all, I'm going to read this. This is not in my PowerPoint, but I'm going to read this scripture, what Jesus spoke. This is Matthew 4, verse 4. If you don't know what that is, you should get it memorized. But Matthew 4, verse 4 says this. It's very, very simple. Jesus is speaking here, and this is when the devil is tempting him. So when the devil's trying to deceive you, this is something very important to know, because this is what Jesus said. Jesus answered the devil and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Somebody say every word.
Every word.
That's good. Every word. Oh, you mean not that we get to pick and choose which ones are important or more important than the others? No, every word. Remember Paul speaking to the church of Ephesus? He said, I kept back nothing that was profitable to you. I declared to you the whole counsel of God. And that is our job as Christians, as especially ministers of the gospel, pastors, fivefold ministers. Our job is to declare the truth of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. Well, let me just go on and clue you Christians, especially some of you hard-headed pastors out there. The truth of creation is scattered not just in Genesis, but throughout the entire Bible. It is foundational to our faith that our God is the one true God, the creator of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as revealed from Genesis to Malachi and Matthew to Revelation. Okay, that's the truth. And what's interesting is there are people out there say it's not important, but I'm going to say this, as I've said many times over the last few years, if you can't trust Genesis chapter 1, then how can you trust the rest of the book? And the famous book, Paul's probably the Apostle Paul's most famous epistles, the epistle to the Romans, the book of Romans. And what does he start talking about in Romans chapter 1? The creation, the witness of creation. That the witness of creation is so powerful that men are without excuse. Yet he said there would be men who would try to suppress the truth about creation. That's what Romans 1 says. Shared that many times. The Gospel of John. Remember, John called himself the beloved disciple, right? The disciple that Jesus really loved, right? I love that about John, because you know what, John, that just says that not that he's being prideful, he just really believed Jesus loved him. That's pretty cool. He believed it with all of his heart. And his gospel starts out, and I'll share these passages in a minute, but it's in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, why would he start out a gospel like that? You know, I hear Christians go, oh, don't worry about the creation. Don't worry about the truth about the sun, moon, and stars, or the earth, or how God lays it out. Just stick to the gospel. Well, tell that to the Apostle John, because he started his gospel with creation and Jesus being the creator. Let me just go in and tell you this. We're supposed to tell the truth about creation, about salvation, about healing and deliverance, about repentance, about Bible prophecy and the second coming of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to tell the truth about it all. We don't get to pick and choose. And if you start doing that, like I've said, you're not a preacher or a teacher of the Word of God. You're an editor of the Word of God. All right? And we're not supposed to be editors. Can somebody say amen? All right, so let's look at this morning. We're going to get into this. The Flat Earth Awakening continues and why it matters. So we got to do this right here this morning. All right. I got to put this up because I'm going to be playing some videos. So everybody see that, right? Fair use. Fair use, Facebook, YouTube. Fair use. It's law. All right. So let's keep going here. All right. Everybody knows this is Super Bowl Sunday. How many of you know that? How many of you know that on average, there's going to be 100 million, probably 100 plus million viewers to the Super Bowl? And this is one of the new commercials that was previewed ahead of the Super Bowl, but they're going to play it during the Super Bowl. And I want you to see it. Most of you probably have, but let's play it this morning here.
Alexa, turn down the thermostat.
Okay, turning down thermostat.
Ready? Here we go. What do you think people did before Alexa?
Alessa, turn the temperature down 2 degrees.
Thank you, dear.
Alexei, tell me a joke.
Jokes. God, you think I know lies? Look at me.
Next.
News. Get your news here.
Alex, what's today's news?
Doesn't matter. It's all fake.
Al, play that song I like. Al, next song.
Alexei, tell us something interesting.
Okay.
The earth is flat. Tell us something interesting.
Okay. The earth is flat.
Tell us something interesting. The earth is flat. Listen, these people, they act like they're mocking, but they're actually slipping truth in, you know, the news, the fake news, right? Notice he called him Al. Play that song for him, Al, A-I. They slipped these little things in here. But this one was, to me, very interesting because he says, tell us something interesting. The earth is flat. And I'm going to tell you that this truth is not going away. Even Mike Tyson the other day came out and said that he believes the earth is flat. And he didn't believe what they've been telling us. And what you're going to see is that it's really, I was blown away because I'm going to show you in a second. But there's been some polling that has been done recently. And it says that 40% or more now of people believe that we've been lied to about the shape of the earth. 40%. A big-time gamer was doing did a little straw poll because he was arguing with people about the earth being flat. He was not a flat earther. He said, well, all right, we're just going to do a poll. Several thousand people voted in his little poll, and 53% said the earth was flat. Yes, it's flat. This is bigger than you know, and this is why YouTube and Facebook and Google have been trying to censor this truth and change the algorithms and hide videos and not show videos and, you know, have these fact checker things censor stuff. I tried to share something to a private group that we have for the ministry school, and Facebook blocked me from sharing it yesterday, and it had to do with flat earth. So imagine if Google and Facebook and YouTube had not been censoring this over the last, really about, it's really kicked in the last 6 months hard and heavy. But imagine where this thing would be if we're at 40 to 50% of people questioning the shape of the earth and the heliocentric model. That's why I want to tell you, this is a revival of truth, of biblical truth. This is an awakening. And because of this, because it can be proven, because it can be tested, and because it's biblical, people are getting saved by the thousands. Agnostics and atheists, and I'm going to read some of those testimonies that have been coming into me today. But let's continue here. I want you to see this here, theoretically. There we go. Just so you know, there's the stats I said a minute ago. I think it was at Super Bowl there, 2015, 114 million people. Last year it's been down because the NFL is a farce, but it was down in 2019 to 98 million. But still, there'll be 100 million people watch that tonight, and they're going to say flat earth is interesting. Yes, it is. It's very interesting because it's true. Now, let me just say this before I play this Alex Jones clip. Alex Jones is controlled opposition. He is a hack. He is Bill Hicks. We won't go into all that. But you have to understand something. He's under such pressure because so many people that have been his viewers and followers over the years have confronted him about this because this is a guy who allegedly is into every conspiracy known to man, but then wants to ignore the facts, the evidence, and the proof about the greatest true conspiracy, and that is to cover up the true nature of creation. But he's been under such pressure that he's had to do some shows on this, and he let one of his guys do an actual honest report on it. But he makes sure to let you know that he does not believe it, no matter how much evidence that his journalist is about to present to you. And I'm only going to give you a portion of it, but here, check this out.
We're going to lay it all out today, and we have some special guests joining us. I'll tell you about a little bit later. Got an international TV crew here arriving at the studio. Got Mike Adams and Nick Fuentes joining us because the Republican establishment's so scared of him. I'm going to find out why. And then we're also going to go somewhere in the last segment of this hour that just went live on Infowars.com. Special report, Antarctic Mysteries Tied to Flat Earth Conspiracy Theory. Now, I want to be completely clear. I do not believe the Earth is flat. But because the people have been lied to so much, and they know they've been lied to now, most people don't know what's true. And they've done internal polls and national surveys. Hell, I spent $20,000 just a few months ago doing one for some legal issues to find out exactly what was going on. That's what we thought. And about 40% of people now officially question whether the Earth's flat or something else.
It is? Okay, you know what? You want to have a vote on that? Let's have a vote on that. All right. Is the Earth flat, actually? Yes, no. All right, we'll do this one here, okay, guys? Give me a second. And there you go.
Yes is the top bar.
We're going to lay it all out today, and we have some special guests joining us. I'll tell you about a little bit later. Got an international TV crew here arriving at the studio. Got Mike Adams and Nick Fuentes joining us because the Republican establishment's so scared of him. I'm going to find out why. And then we're also going to go somewhere in the last segment of this hour that just went live on Infowars.com. Special report, Antarctic Mysteries Tied to Flat Earth Conspiracy Theory. Now, I want to be completely clear. I do not believe the Earth is flat. But because the people have been lied to so much, and they know they've been lied to now, most people don't know what's true. And they've done internal polls and national surveys. Hell, I spent $20,000 just a few months ago doing one for some legal issues to find out exactly what was going on. That's what we thought. And about 40% of people now officially question whether the Earth's flat or something else.
It is? Okay, you know what? You want to have a vote on that? Let's have a vote on that. All right. Is the Earth flat, actually? Yes, no. All right, we'll do this one here, okay, guys? Give me a second. And there you go.
In the age of social media censorship, questioning whether or not the Earth is a globe has been deemed harmful thought. But why is this? We seem to be conditioned to think that the issue has been scientifically settled. But this is not the case. Our most popular scientists recognize that the geocentric model, where the Earth is at the center of the universe, is observably accurate. Edwin Hubble and Stephen Hawking went as far as to say that they reject the geocentric model not based on scientific reasoning, but rather because they find the thought of being at the center of the universe to be emotionally disturbing. Physicist George Ellis stated that you cannot disprove the geocentric model. You can only exclude it on philosophical grounds. The Michelson-Morley experiment in the 1880s proved the Earth was stationary, and Albert Einstein claimed this was a serious embarrassment and intended to disprove it with his relativity theory, but later admitted that he had failed to do so. We are conditioned to think that the heliocentric model is scientifically superior to the geocentric model, but when we apply scientific reasoning, we discover that this is not true. Contrary to popular thought, the scientific community has disputed the heliocentric model for centuries, such as the Earth's curvature. According to the heliocentric Earth model, the Earth is 24,000 miles in circumference, and if one were standing at sea level, they should only be able to see less than 3 miles before the surface of the Earth curves out of view. But this has been proven to be false for centuries. From the Bedford Level experiments of 1838 to modern photography, this photograph of Chicago was taken almost 60 miles away from Grand Mere State Park in Michigan. On a spherical Earth, this would be impossible. Using the Pythagorean theorem and the current dimensions of the Earth, the top of the tallest skyscraper should be 900 feet below the observable horizon. Local news explained this anomaly by claiming the image was a mirage.
And what you're seeing here is a mirage. We typically would not be able to see this from the Lake Michigan shore. We talked about this last night. Conditions are right on the lake that we're actually seeing a mirage.
They claimed that somehow light refraction and perfect weather conditions are responsible for creating a photorealistic mirage of the Chicago skyline appearing to sit on the flat horizon from almost 60 miles away. Anomalies in the Earth's curvature can also be found in old lighthouses, able to be seen for several miles past what is possible on the heliocentric model, and weapons guidance systems that are capable of sighting targets that would only be possible on a flat plane. We are accustomed to observing ships disappearing over the curve, but with modern consumer cameras, we can observe that this seems to be an optical illusion based on light reflection and the laws of perspective. Many of us tend to think the planet is too big to observe curvature, but the empirical evidence tells us that either the surface of the Earth is a flat plane, or the planet is at least 100 times bigger than we are told. Another very intriguing argument for flat earthers is Antarctica, the mysterious massive continent at our southern pole that nobody is allowed to explore. After sailing over 60,000 miles along the Antarctic coastline, Captain Cook was never able to complete the journey around the ice continent, which is supposed to be just under 12,000 miles around. Neither was James Clark Ross or the British ship Challenger. Nobody has ever successfully circumnavigated Antarctica. Many so-called flat earthers claim that these attempts failed because Antarctica is actually a massive ice barrier that surrounds the flat surface of the Earth. The azimuthal equidistant projection map, produced by the U.S. Geological Survey, has been used for centuries for the fact that all directions or azimuths are correct and all distances are at true scale. Studying this map, one can clearly see how man has been able to accurately circumnavigate the Earth on a flat plane model. And if it is in fact accurate, then it explains why after 60,000 miles, nobody has been able to completely circumnavigate Antarctica. Interestingly, this is also the map used by the United Nations.
Okay. I guess it stops there. But that is, yeah, the map used by the United Nations. Isn't it interesting that Antarctica is not in this, but they've got this ring around it here with the thing. So they know the truth. And again, we've talked about this, but I thought that was such a good synopsis. But that Alex Jones let that roll on InfoWars. I couldn't believe it because they actually presented the evidence and some of the reasoning behind all this here. Now, recently, too, some of you may already know this, but see, I haven't covered this in any messages, so we have a lot of new listeners and viewers here. But recently, the first astronaut has come out to admit that, yes, the Earth is flat. He was a Polish astronaut. He was a first Polish national to be a cosmonaut under the old Soviet Union. I'm not going to try to pronounce his name, Miroslav, well, Herman something, Zuski or whatever. But anyway, he's a national hero. I mean, in their military, this guy made it to the rank. Of course, he was a fighter pilot. He made it to the rank of general, and he's a hero to the Polish people. Now, the interview you're going to see of him here is in Polish, but what's interesting is we spoke to a lady that came to Skyfall who is Polish. Her parents are Polish, and I said, is this a correct translation? Did he indeed say that the Earth is flat when they asked him the question? And she said, yes, her mother and father. In fact, her mother has not received the flat Earth truth. But when she heard one of her heroes say this, it blew her mind. Said she stayed on the phone burning up calls to Poland talking to people about this because it blew her mind when this astronaut admitted publicly that the Earth is flat. And he was born in 1941, so he's 78 years old. I imagine he decided, you know what, I'm going to tell the truth. I'm tired of carrying this secret, this lie. But here's the interview. Let's see here. We'll go ahead and play this.
Tam był. Czy Ziemia rzeczywiście jest kulą zawieszoną w kosmosie?
Jest płaska. Tak jak oczekują. Nie spodziewałem się co prawda tego pytania, ale zapewniam pana, że jest płaska.
Generał Mirosław Hermaszewski, jak dotąd pierwszy i ostatni Polak, który odbył lot orbitalny. Dziękuję serdecznie za rozmowę.
Dzięki. Dziękuję, kłaniam się.
Jest płaska.
Earth tak is flat, oczekują. As some expect.
Nie I didn't expect this question. Nie spodziewałem się tego pytania, ale zapewniam pana, że jest płaska.
I assure you, it's flat. Płaska. He says it several times, flat, in Polish. So here you have an astronaut finally saying it. I guess he didn't have to fear the Soviet Union killing him or the CIA, and at 78 years old, I guess he doesn't care anymore. So he's not keeping their secret anymore. So there's an astronaut. I just wanted to bring this up because I've talked about this before, but it seems that this flat earth, I would say biblical creation, biblical cosmology awakening really kicked in 2014 and 15. And since then, I'm going to tell you, since that day, I have never seen at any point, any truth bring more people to Jesus than this. And I'm talking about people that are in weird beliefs, like New Age beliefs, like agnostics, atheists. I've never seen more agnostics and atheists come to Jesus and testify to it. And I just want to show you, this is just tremendous. Now, why is this? Why are so many getting saved? Why do I call this an awakening and a revival? Because so many people are getting saved. So many people, even a lot of prodigals, backsliders, people that have fallen away just from doubt, doubting the Bible, doubting the scriptures, doubting, you know, maybe they walked with the Lord when they were young, but they started doubting because of all the lies of the media and the government and scientism and all this stuff. So many prodigals have come back. But this is why this is important. Truth is important. And this is what Jesus, this is John 8, and I just pulled it up in the Blue Letter Bible here, but it says here, and this is Jesus spake these words, as Jesus spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? Satanic lies, satanic deception, satanic bondage. If you believe a lie from the devil in any area, that brings darkness, it brings bondage, and it can lead to other deceptions in your life. So truth is important, truth in all areas. God's truth is light. God wants there to be light in every area of your life. In every subject, he wants there to be truth. He is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. And then he told us in John 8, a little further down, what does he tell us? He says the devil is what? A liar. He's the liar. He's a liar from the beginning. And then we know from Revelation 21 that liars will have their part in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone, right? So it's pretty serious, this issue of truth and a lie, because truth, the truth of God, the truth about creation, the truth about salvation, the truth about who Jesus is, God in the flesh, who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead, the truth that God's word is not just written by man, but is inspired, God-breathed words, living and powerful, that the scriptures are truth. These things are all important, that Jesus is going to physically return again. It's not just going to be some spiritual appearing, but that Jesus will physically return to the earth again and set up his kingdom, that there's going to be a judgment day, and some people are going to hear the words, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, and others are going to say, enter into the joy of thy Lord. So these things are important. All these things, truth is important. Anybody that says any truth of the Bible is not important, something is wrong with them. Something is wrong. Now, I'm not saying they're not saved, because there are going to be some people that don't believe some things that are in the Bible that are saved. But something is wrong in their belief system. Something is wrong in how they think. The devil does have a stronghold there. And some of them, it's going to lead them into more serious error. But let's continue here. All right, now, many of you know I just wrote a book, and I cover all this stuff. All this stuff that was in that video a minute ago, I mean, from everything to the proof, the test, all these things, I cover it all here. But the reason I brought this up is because I want you to see there's an entire chapter in here, chapter 6, where I talk about atheists come to Jesus. Now, as important as all the other chapters that I wrote about the firmament, I wrote about what the Bible says about the earth being shaped like a pile of clay pressed down flat under a seal or signet ring. And I go through all the scriptures about the ends of the earth and talk about Antarctica and then get into the NASA deceptions and the government documents and what satellites really are and the ether and all this stuff. And we're going to go into more of this stuff, some of these things I haven't talked about in this series. But I just wanted to point out here, atheists come to Jesus. This is why it matters, folks. Let's just look at a few of these. All right, here's chapter 6. And I want to read over here, on August 9th, 2019, this Thomas Sean or Kahn from Germany commented on my Dean Odell Ministries Facebook page and wrote, quote, this ministry is filled with the Holy Spirit. Here you get the whole truth. This pastor led me with his teaching of biblical cosmology from atheism to our Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. People pray for this ministry, the pastor and the church. Now, if it was just that one person, that's enough reason why. But I wrote a whole chapter on this, and I'm not going to read them all. Here's another one. Thomas Robert Shaw shared, I found Jesus and God through flat earth. It changed my life. Ranek testified, all the preaching in the world could not pull me out of atheism. Once I realized the earth was not a spinning ball, it was about 2 seconds later when I realized the Bible is true and my lifelong atheism was toast. I understand the gospel is the most important thing, and it is, but if you want to turn an atheist around 180 degrees, flat earth does it faster than anything else. And he's telling the truth. He says, atheists are always demanding proof of a creator. Flat earth is that proof. And I wanted to show you, these are actual comments on YouTube and Facebook. Here's some more. Let's see, I'll have to probably have to read that one at the top. Lisa D, great testimony. Flat earth recently brought me to the Lord too. I was previously agnostic and believed in New Age practices and theories. I looked into flat earth to prove to a friend it was ridiculous. I spent months researching before finally accepting the truth. I have no doubt that we live in this beautiful world that God created for us. And now when I look up to the skies, I feel God smiling down on me. When I eventually realized that outer space is actually heaven, it was wonderful, liberating, and humbling. It led me to the Bible to accept that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I have a long journey ahead, but my heart has been changed. My life transformed. Now, she's not saying that outer space, as they believe it, is heaven. It's just this, the outer space, as they have depicted it, is not true. Heaven is above our solid firmament sky. Lillian Hubbard commented, the flat earth brought me to the truth of Christ. Before, I was into yoga, Hinduism, and aliens. Wow, that's a mixture of nonsense and demonic deception. She said, the truth that the earth is flat brought me to the Bible and the issue of demons. I realized I had been under demonic possession since birth. Jesus set me free. Jesus set me. This is what I'm saying. This is a revival, folks. This is a revival. It is an awakening. Tiffany Contreras, she said, Jesus saved my life, but flat earth turned my life back to him. When I found out the earth might be flat, I decided to read the Bible for the first time at 45 years old. Finding out the Bible said the earth was flat showed me the Bible could be trusted. Reading the Bible put God's word in my heart and changed me in a way I never imagined. God became more tangible, knowing he was right above me on his throne. And it just goes on and on. There's so many more. Bernie McIntyre wrote, both of my siblings are now believers after discovering the true biblical cosmology or biblical creation. For years and years, they rejected the gospel. First, my sister last year and my brother about 6 months ago. Opening minds up to the big deceptions helped them realize God is real and God is good. Thanks for allowing this brother to share his testimony. Just powerful stuff. Here's Daniel Andre. Flat earth saved me as well. I wanted Jesus back in my life, but I'd been shooting up heroin, living a life, not believing in God. I even died from an overdose once. And the people who saved me are now dead from overdosing. But I was saved. Fast forward 2 years, I kept doing the flat earth research. And once I discovered the earth to be flat, I knew God was real. Slowly but surely, God revealed himself to me. I've been clean from any drug or alcohol for 4 years now. And my life is at an upswing. I gave my entire life to Jesus, and it was the absolute best thing I ever did. I am 4 years deep in the rabbit hole, and everything that comes out of my mouth is a conspiracy to everyone, LOL. But I'm not afraid of ridicule because I speak God's truth. I talk about flat earth with people, and I can tell their demeanor change as soon as I say the earth is flat. But once I tell them things that make sense, they come back and say, wow, the best thing to do is teach kids. They are the future. Here's another. Patrick Dodd wrote, I was blown away when the truth of flat earth hit me. I am now a follower of Jesus Christ. Jenny Webb testified, I always knew that the Bible and mainstream science could not both be true. So for most of my life, I chose to trust in learned men about the origins of the earth and the universe and everything else. The flat earth led me to God and his son, my savior. God's word is literally true, and all men are liars. Former agnostic Brian Nielsen wrote, "Flat earth solidified it for me that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life." Former agnostic now saying, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Liz Henry wrote, "Flat earth has opened my eyes. I never believed in God, really. Definitely was taught that the Bible is fiction. I believe that science was truth. What a gigantic hoax they have done. Jesus Christ is my salvation. I love Jesus. The book of Enoch, the Bible is true. I am the last person who would have believed it until I saw it with my own eyes and camera. There is a dome. The earth is not a globe." This guy here, just Internal Affairs, he wrote on the video, "Flat Earth Saved My Life. Amazing video. My life was changed by Jesus and Flat Earth. I am born again, recovering New Ager, alien seeding the world believer. Jesus led me to the truth, to Dean Odle, to the truth of biblical cosmology and the truth of Jesus as my savior. My testimony is similar to these guys. I feel so blessed. Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah, the Anointed One is here for you. If you are reading this, God loves you. Jesus loves you, and he wants you to be filled with his Holy Spirit. Open yourself up to Jesus. Ask Yeshua into your heart. Believe it to be so, and you will already have received it. Jesus will save you." It just goes on. Alan Buchanan commented on my video, "Flat Earth Saved My Life. I believed ancient aliens crap. I lay in bed one night and said, God, if you are real and my everlasting soul is at stake, then show me you're real. I deserve that much." The very next night, he showed me Flat Earth. I've never been a conspiracy theorist. I mocked them. I couldn't have been more asleep. Blew my mind. And he showed me all the lies and the deceit in the world. Then 2 years later, I met him. He came into my life and actually spoke to me and filled me with his Holy Spirit. I was an atheist / agnostic for 41 years. Now at 45, I'm a spirit-filled, born-again Christian. Here, Drew Burt just sent them a book the other day. It's funny, I sent him a book. He said, I got the book in the mail, and I opened it up to this, to his testimony. He said, I opened straight to this page. He said, "How can I tell my pastor about the flat earth? I feel the urge to tell him how I came to find God and the power of Jesus Christ. I was a full-on atheist before coming to the realization that we live in God's creation. Not only was I an atheist agnostic, but I pulled my wife away from her faith with my BS science facts. My wife was raised Apostolic Pentecostal, and I was raised Catholic. We found a Pentecostal church in our area, and we've been going for a couple of weeks now and have both received the Holy Ghost through the love of Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Dean, for everything you do to bring the good news to all of the lost souls out there. God bless you." Anyway, a lot of testimonies. These are just a few. Of course, that's not even all that's in the chapter in my book. And that's not all that I could share. But I wanted you to see, again, I think it's never, some people say, well, Pastor Dean, you talk about this a lot. Actually, you know what? I look back and I haven't really done a sermon on this in a year, a little over a year. But I felt it was kind of time for a State of the Union and to be reminded how important the truth of creation, the biblical truth, is, even if Christians out there want to reject it and ridicule and mock and ignore or be afraid. A lot of them are just afraid. They don't want to take the stand. They're ashamed of what God's word says about it. And we're going to go into those details. Today's not really the day I'm going to go into all the details, because I'm going to go into the sevenfold doctrine of the whole creation in next week. But I do want to look a little bit at this right here. Of course, we're going to look at this right here, because I find this interesting, because I'm going to talk about this prophecy. Remember, I mentioned this old prophecy. But before I share the source of where that comes from, I want to share that this prophecy in Daniel, I think, is very telling here. Remember, every word's important. Now, in Daniel chapter 12, this is just Daniel 12, 1 through 4 and 9, verses 9 and 10. Here's what it says. Now, this is speaking of the end times. He says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time." So this is talking about the final great tribulation, the last days when it's going to be worse than any other time in history. He goes on to say, "And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Now look what he says here. This is verse 4 of Daniel 12. He says, "And they that be wise," the wise, right? The born-again, spirit-filled Christians that are listening to the Holy Spirit, that are listening to the Word of God, that are established in sound doctrine, "they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament." Now, why did he bring up the brightness of the firmament? Why did he say shine like the sun? Why didn't he say shine like the glory of God, like Isaiah 60 talks about? The glory of God is going to arise upon you. Why did he use the phrase, "they're going to shine like the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever"? See, I believe this is the Holy Spirit was cryptically revealing that in the last of the last days, as we got into the tribulation, that the wise would be bringing up the firmament. See, most Christians don't know what the firmament is. There's this guy on YouTube, and I don't even know his name. I don't know who he is, but he's some flat earther, and he calls pastors and tries to get pastors. He's called pastors, priests, rabbis. He's called pastors in different denominations. It's funny. He records the phone call, and he just asks him a question. What is the firmament? And the answers that he's gotten are hilarious. If he gets one, most of the time they'll be like, What are you talking about? What verse? And the pastors will go and get the Bible out and read it with him. And he goes, "I'm just trying to understand, Pastor, what the firmament is. And what is this about the waters above the firmament and the waters below the firmament and the stars and the sun and the moon being in the firmament? What is that?" And some of them say, of course, outer space. And he'll go, well, what is this waters above the firmament? And they'll go, what verse is that again? And they'll go back and read it. And they'll go, I don't know. One guy said the firmament was the earth. And he goes, well, and he's so polite to them. And he goes, well, now down in verse 14, it says the sun and the moon and the stars are in the firmament. So that would mean they would be in the earth. He goes, and then the pastor, yeah, that wouldn't work. The problem is they don't know what it is. And the reason they don't know what it is because they reject the Hebrew definitions of what it is. They reject the Jewish history of what it is. They reject what the Bible describes it as in Ezekiel 1 and Revelation 14, 15. And it's amazing, but really, and we're going to get into this, one of the sevenfold, I believe one of the sevenfold doctrines of the whole creation is about the firmament. Once we understand what the firmament is, a whole lot of stuff, a whole lot of lies we've been told have to be pushed aside. That is, if we're going to accept what the Bible says, and if we're going to accept the actual definitions of the words and the historical testimonies of what these prophets and ancient Jewish Hebrew people believed and what they taught. But anyway, I just think it's interesting. And then he says this here. Now look what he says. He says, "They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness." So I believe he's connecting this subject to turning many to righteousness, which is what we're seeing. That people are beginning to understand biblical cosmology, biblical creation, And they're seeing that it can be proven and tested, and that it's written in the Bible and it's been there since the beginning, right? Since God had the prophets put it down. But Satan blinded us to it, and Satan deceived all of us. But then he goes on to say this, which is very interesting. He says, what? But thou, or you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, he said, go seal the words till the time of the end, meaning that it wouldn't be understood. It would be sealed. It would be hidden. It would be like a mystery until the time of the end. Why? I go back to what I said a minute ago. This thing really kicked in 2014, 2015, right? Why did God save it to the end? Because he said there were certain things that were going to be hidden, closed, sealed, not seen clearly, not understood clearly until the very end. And then he says this. He says, for the words, he says, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And then he adds this, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Well, what shall they understand? What shall they understand? Things hidden from the foundation of the world. The word understand here means to be able to distinguish, the Hebrew word, to be able to distinguish, to separate, to stand apart, to discern or perceive. So the wise will be able to see this, but when will they be able to see it? Before the time of the end? Or at the time of the end? At the time of the end. Now let's look at this right here. This says there, let no man deceive himself. Oh, can we say that many of us deceive ourselves? Right? We deceive ourselves. How do we deceive ourselves? When we hear the word and we don't receive it, or we don't take time to study it. We don't take time to search it out for ourselves, to dig into it. But he says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, the things that this world calls wisdom and knowledge and intelligence, if any man thinks himself to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. The wisdom of this world. It is no coincidence here that this word, world here, the wisdom of the world is the Greek word cosmos, which means the decoration, the ornaments, the arrangement of the stars and the heavenly host as the ornament of the heavens. Cosmos is the word. The wisdom of this world's cosmos, the way they think it is. Cosmos, cosmology, that's where we get that word. Everybody see that? Let's keep going here. Now let's look at the book. I want to look at the book of Enoch. Now the book of Enoch catches a lot of distrust because this prophecy I told you about comes from the book of Enoch. But let's examine something about the book of Enoch. Can I just say that the book of Enoch, I believe, is a legitimate source of information, true information. Why do I believe that? Because the apostle Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, believed that enough to quote an entire chapter of it in the book of Jude. It's also quoted by Jesus, and I've read the book of Enoch, and I don't find any major contradictions to any doctrine of the Bible. Now, what makes this significant? Let's read this. Jesus, James, and Jude all quoted from Enoch 1. Both James and Jude were half-brothers of Jesus. They spent more time with Jesus than his apostles. Jude went so far as to quote an entire paragraph verbatim. He quotes Enoch 1:1. He says, when they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls in Cave 1 of Qumran, Enoch 1 was among them. It was dated to 300 B.C. This proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that Enoch 1 existed before Jesus and that Jesus was familiar with it along with his two half-brothers. Lastly, Jude was under divine Holy Spirit inspiration when he wrote his epistle, which included a paragraph of Enoch 1. So this is why we give credence to the book of Enoch. Now, let me just say this. The 66 books of the canon are the final say on any matter of doctrine or practice. Okay? We don't put the book of Enoch above it, but I do believe it is not some medieval forgery. There are medieval forgeries that are called Enoch. Enoch 2, Enoch 3, those are forgeries. They were not found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. They cannot be dated back to 300 B.C. All right? So this is very significant. Now, of course, in 2, the book of Enoch was included in the Ethiopian Bible. But let's just keep going here. All right? This is Enoch 92. This is the prophecy I was talking about. So the prophecy about this end time stuff. And remember, even Enoch 1 says that the book of Enoch would be for the people of the last days that would be going through the tribulation, which I find very interesting. But this is what it says. Now I'm going to read this. Enoch 92, 10 through 14. He says, after that, in the sixth week, all those who are in it shall be darkened. The hearts of all them shall be forgetful of wisdom. And in it shall a man arise and come forth, the Messiah, at the end of the sixth millennium. And during its completion, he shall burn the house of dominion with fire, and all the race of the elect root shall be dispersed, and the destruction of Jerusalem and the disbursement of those who dwell in that land at the end of the sixth and the beginning of the seventh millennium. Now, we don't understand how he's timing this, and this is a long prophecy, but he says this in verse 12 that's very interesting. So he's talking about, in those first few verses, about when the Messiah comes first, when Jesus came, and after he died and rose from the dead and left, and then there was the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And so he says afterwards, or after this, later, in the seventh week, a perverse generation shall rise. Well, that's our generation. Abundant shall be its deeds, and all its deeds perverse. Now listen to that. During its completion, the righteous shall be selected from the everlasting plant of righteousness. Who's the plant of righteousness? Jesus. So there's going to be righteous ones selected, and to them shall be given the sevenfold doctrine of his whole creation. Now that to me is speaking directly to what has happened since 2014 and 15. And this is not just an American thing. This has been worldwide. And it was like a switch got flipped. And there were certain ones that just could see it and grasp it and share it. And this, I mean, even if you want to believe this was some medieval deception, which I think we've proven that's not the case. But how could you get this right? From the 1200s or the 1300s or the 1400s. You might know about the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, but you wouldn't be able to know that in the last of the last days, when everything became perverse, there would be a revelation given about the doctrine, the true doctrine of creation. And why would there need to be one? See, this foretells they would know that there would be a false science rise up, a false narrative, a false teaching, a deception concerning creation that would be so strong that the Lord would have to pick some people out to give revelation and understanding to it, to open their eyes and help them see it. And that obviously this would be important in the last days to set people free. Now, I can say all this and I can read this now, almost 5 years into this, going, this revelation, this sevenfold doctrine of his whole creation, the truth, the understanding, the spirit of wisdom and revelation on this now is setting captives free and saving souls like crazy. And what the devil's doing right now is he's finding a lot of Christians who believe this and can explain this because they're worried about being persecuted, ridiculed, mocked, rejected. They don't want the battle. But hear what I'm going to say to you. This revelation, this truth about the shape of the earth, about the true nature of the sun, moon, and stars, about the still, motionless earth, this is so vitally important to our age that has been deceived by a bunch of occultists and Freemasons and Satanists who have a space program. You hear me? This is vitally important. And I just want to say, listen to me, there's some Christians out there. I was thinking about this one individual in particular. Let me tell you what. The doctrine of the firmament is one of these sevenfold. I'm going to show you. There's seven things. Actually, yesterday I sat down and I go, Lord, what would be the seven? Sevenfold means seven things pertinent to creation that has been revealed, seven truths. And when I thought about the things that God has revealed in his word now about scripture, I saw it. The firmament's one of them. The truth about the firmament. Now, this is in your Bible. The truth about the firmament being solid, molten, glass, dome, all of that. And we're going to cover all those scriptures again here. But that's truth that's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. I don't care if you've never seen it before, you don't understand it, or you've been blind to it. It's in here. You can teach that doctrine systematically, starting at Genesis, go into Job, go into Psalms. You can go into all the way to Revelation with it. All right? This is a sound doctrine about what the firmament is. Now, let me tell you, if you're a Christian and you believe that, you've heard the teaching and you believe what the Bible says about it, but you're ashamed to share it with people, then you're ashamed of God's word. Plain and simple. If you know the Bible already told us the shape of the earth in Job 38:14, he told us, we don't have to speculate. There's nowhere in the Bible that he says the earth is a spinning ball. There's nowhere in scripture it says that. It says the earth takes shape like a clay pressed down by a signet ring. We were told the shape of the earth in the scriptures. If you want to keep saying it's a spinning ball, or you're a Christian that says, I know that the Bible says that, and I don't believe it's a spinning ball, but I'm not telling anybody, you're ashamed of the word of God. And that you're missing out on something that God wants to use to save people. We say, well, I'll be rejected by my denomination. Guess what? If they reject you and kick you out, good. The best thing that ever happened to me was getting the left foot of fellowship from the Assemblies of God. One of the second best things that ever happened was getting fired from another denomination. Because you know what? Freedom. Freedom to teach and preach and not be ashamed of any part of the Bible. See, there's some folks saying you need to get kicked out of your Baptist church for preaching the truth. You need to get kicked out of your Episcopal church for preaching the truth. You need to get kicked out of your Catholic church. Listen, I've been asked to leave a Catholic church one time. Not that I was attending it. I just walked in and pointed out the idols, and the nuns freaked out and threw me out. I said, look at all these idols. I think that was the Catholic Church in Bourbon Street, New Orleans. Or it's either on Bourbon Street or a block off. I can't remember. It's been a long time. But if you hadn't been kicked out of a church, man, you're not preaching the truth. You never been asked to leave? I had one Methodist pastor ask me to leave after just giving a simple prophecy that people needed to repent of sin. And he said, he met me at the door one day, said, "We don't want you back here." And I said, "Okay." I just dusted my feet off like this. I said, "Thank you. I wanted to leave, but God made me stay until I told you that." You get what I'm saying? Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and of my words, I'm going to be ashamed of you. Do you want that? I said, "Pastor Dean, now wait a minute. I didn't know any of this." Well, it's one thing. Okay, if you were ignorant, you didn't know it. That's understandable. You can't preach what you don't know. But once you've heard it, once it's been presented to you, once it's been taught to you, once it's been shown to you plainly, clearly, then you're responsible for it after that. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think this is the only truth in the Bible, but this truth is important, and this truth is the only truth that's going to set certain people free from their unbelief and their deception and lies and false doctrines that they hold. So you can't sit there and go, "Well, I'll tell them about Jesus," but when their real problem is they believe the Bible is a fairy tale and that the Bible's account of creation is a fairy tale because they believe NASA and Copernicus and the rest of the heliocentric nonsense, you're not going to get anywhere with them until you destroy their false belief system. Listen, this is one of the things Charles Finney, one of the great revivalists of the 1800s, understood perfectly. He said that if you're going to lead a sinner out of their stronghold and you're going to set them free and you're going to get them saved, he said, you got to find their little refuge of lies and you got to tear it down. And for many people, the refuge of lies that they hold on to is, "I can't trust the Bible because I don't believe the Bible's account of creation. I believe sciences. I believe NASA's view. I believe Copernicus and Hubble and Newton." And here's what's so wild. "Well, haven't you seen the pictures from space?" Haven't you seen the pictures from space? Let me tell you. I told somebody this. Somebody that was arguing this with me. I said, "Have you been to space? Have you been in a rocket ship and gone up high enough to see for yourself whether it is a ball or it's flat?" "No." "Then you're believing the testimony of a very small group of men and women who say, we know the truth, we are your priest, because we are astronauts. We are your priest, we know the truth, you just trust us." How convenient. But see, that old devil, you know, he's under certain rules. So he let this Japanese make a camera that we could all buy. And now we can go find out if it's flat or not, or if it's curving 8 inches per mile squared. And we've done many tests, and I've shared this across Mobile Bay, probably going to do another one in a few weeks. I want to go down in February again because our best test was in February. And I'm also planning, still planning, a trip to Chicago, to Michigan, to do my own test across there, the 57-mile test from Michigan to look at Chicago. But I got to plan that one out a little better. But anyway, these things are biblical. We know what the Bible says. And see, here's what blows my mind. We got a bunch of Christians that go, "I don't really believe that. It's just metaphors. God just told them what he needed to tell them to accommodate their ignorance. They were just ignorant shepherds." And yet you got atheists over here and agnostics who find out, they see the visual evidence, they see the curvature test with the lasers and with the high zoom cameras, and they go, wait a minute. They look at the math and they go, it is flat. And if it is flat, and then they got to start reading their Bible, and they go, wow, it's not moving and it's flat. And the Bible said the earth's not moving and it's flat. And then the atheists and the agnostics are getting saved. And then we got Christians ashamed to even talk about it or acknowledge it. Something is wrong with that picture. Something is wrong. And there's a lot of Christians. See, I know. I sent my book on purpose to some people to irritate them. To some pastor friends, minister friends. To make them accountable. Because I knew they may not read it, but they'll at least look at the table of contents. And if they just read the table of contents, they're going to go, See, they're going to have to, at that point, they're going to have to close their eyes, stick their fingers, I don't want to know. But you can run, but you can't hide. Well, I just preach the gospel. No, you don't. You preach about marriage. You preach about children. You preach about, you got youth services. No, you don't. You deal with all kinds of stuff. This high and mighty, I stick to the gospel. No, you don't. Because none of us, we're supposed to just go around saying all the time, Jesus died for your sins, rose from the dead, believe that. There's a whole lot more we have to preach and teach that we have to disciple. And that's why 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready to give an answer to every man. Right? Different people have different arguments, different deceptions, different false beliefs, and they need different approaches. You can go say Jesus loves you and died for you and rose from the dead all you want to. And think about it. How many people have done that? I mean, just like this one guy. That one guy said there was no amount of just normal preaching that was going to lead him to Jesus. But when he saw the truth about creation, and he saw it with his own eyes, and he saw it was in the Bible, that broke through to him. So then he could believe that Jesus died for him and rose from the dead. See, I've sat there, I've argued with atheists. I remember back in the day, when we went out on the street in Montgomery. This was in the 90s. And we went out witnessing one night, and there was a group of young people they always hung out in the Kmart parking lot. There's a whole big, huge group of them hanging out in the Kmart parking lot in Montgomery on Atlanta Highway. And I remember it was like during Christmas break or something. But me and this guy got into it. Now, I mean, we got it. He was an atheist, and I'm the pastor. And we got into it, and we argued back and forth for a while. Now, I knew enough historical, archaeological evidence, mathematical evidence back then, and I was able to share my personal testimony, and it shook him. And then at the end, he said, you know what? He said, and I didn't know who he was, but he was home on break from Auburn University, and he was the president of the Auburn University debate team, specializing in atheism. And basically he said, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. I think about now, had I understood this back then, because I used every tool, weapon, truth I had in my arsenal with him. And he said, you almost persuaded me to be a Christian. I would love to have been able to take out this tool about the truth of creation to him. Now, maybe. I know there's a lot of people out there. I know a seed got planted in him for him to say that, for him to admit that. He even said, you're the only Christian that's even come close to convincing me. So maybe a seed got planted, maybe you got saved. I hope so. I pray so. But I'm telling you, this truth of creation and the evidence we can present is irrefutable. It's irrefutable. You really have to just choose to go, I will not accept it. See, that's what Alex Jones is doing. It's like, I've heard it. I've heard it from Eddie Bravo. I've heard it from all my listeners. I've heard it from now my own journalist. I hear it. I see it. But no. That's what you have to do. Now, that's called deceiving yourself. That's called being willingly ignorant. All right. But this truth is important, you guys. And like I said, we're going to keep putting the pressure down. But let's read that prophecy from Enoch 92, verse 12. Afterwards, in the seventh week, a perverse generation shall arise. Abundant shall be its deeds, and all its deeds perverse. During its completion, the righteous shall be selected from the everlasting plant of righteousness, and to them shall be given the sevenfold doctrine of his whole creation. I love that last part, of his whole creation. Not part of it, not just a little bit of it, not one aspect of it, but the whole creation. The firmament, the sun, the moon, the stars, the wind, the ends of the earth, the shape of the earth, the whole kit and caboodle. Right? This is a big deal, you guys. And let me just say, if polling is hitting at the low end, 40% of people now question the heliocentric model that they have had shoved in their head since childhood. The truth is winning. And this truth is penetrating the masses. It is penetrating society unlike any other biblical truth. It is shaking people's world up. What's sad is that there's going to be a lot of Christians who end up staying in their deception and their delusion because they're too prideful and fearful to be willing to say, you know what? I was wrong. You're right. That's painful, isn't it? Like drinking vinegar. To say, I was wrong. The devil did deceive me. I was deceived. You know, first thing to get free is admit you need help, right? Admit you've been wrong. Admit you've sinned. We all were deceived. We all had the spinning ball put in our classroom from the time we were little wee tots that says on the bottom, not for educational purposes. Only a decoration. You know why they do that? So they can't get sued. Right? You do understand. Go pick up a globe in a store. Almost every one of them you'll see, not for educational purposes. Only a decoration. Yeah, an idol, exactly. No, we don't live on a spinning, orbiting, gyrating, spiraling ball through an endless universe, and we're going to make that painfully clear over the next couple of weeks. Because you know what I'm realizing? I was going back looking at some of our videos. It's hard for me to realize that I started some of these things I taught 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when we were downstairs with an iPhone. It was pitiful. And too, there's a whole lot There's a whole new audience that we need to break it down to. So anyway, be praying. Hope you learned something today. Let's stand. I want to do Roy's song again before we leave. Don't be ashamed of the Word of God, any part of it, any truth. Let me tell you, I can say this. The blessing that's on my life and the anointing that's on my life, I know that part of that comes from the fact that I do not fear men. I do not fear what people think, especially about what the Bible says. I don't care. They can whine and moan and complain and mock and laugh and fuss and cuss and whatever. I just look at them. I don't care. God's word says this. Now it's your problem. It's not my problem. Once I tell you, see, that's the beautiful thing. What you don't understand is being bold and straightforward and unashamed about everything that's in the Bible, you can walk around joyful and free. There really is a darkness that comes upon you when you're ashamed of God's word and you hold it back or you fear what people are going to think or what they're going to say. That is bondage. It's oppression. I'm going to tell you what, there is joy in going, here it is. Now it's your problem. I love you. I hope you see it. I hope you deal with it. I hope you receive it. I hope you embrace it. I hope you quit being a little wimp, a little sissy boy, a little girly man. Men. I know there's women in here and there's women listening, but where's the scripture that says, quit you like men, be strong like men. He actually saying that to everyone. What he's saying is you can't be emotionally tied to anything. The truth is the truth. I don't care if the truth makes you cry and I just get you all upset. I love you. I'm sorry, but it has to happen. See? 1 Corinthians 16:13. Read it. Say it loud. There you go. There it is. Be like men. See, men, we don't care so much for your emotions. You can cry little tears, and we're just like, I'm sorry. If it's the truth, it's the truth. I love you, but here's the truth. Okay? You got to deal with it. Stop crying, because I'm not going to be manipulated by that. Now, I don't want to make anybody cry on purpose, but what I'm saying is the truth of the Word of God. Oh, they're putting it up? All right. Y'all see that? Be like men. Strong. Not emotional, weak, worried about what everybody thinks. And listen, there's a lot of men that have weak female effeminate emotions. Stop it. Stop it. A lot of them are in pulpits this morning. Because they know if they tell the truth, people won't like them. The tithes and offerings will dry up. Folks will walk out the door. And they might actually get fired. And some of them need to. Be the best thing that ever happened to them. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for this revival, this awakening, God, of biblical truth, biblical creation, how you're touching lost people, Lord, out there that have been lost and deceived by Satan's lies and the whole Copernican lie and the whole lie of the false science, the pseudoscience. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, to just help us set this course. I thank you for the astronaut that came out and told the truth. I thank you for those who are stepping up and being bold and sharing the truth I thank you for the ways that we can prove, that we can test all things and prove and hold fast to that which is good. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, because it is a wonderful, it's a needful thing in these last days, in this perverse generation, this deceived generation. And so, Lord, we thank you for this biblical truth leading people to faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation and how you're changing lives. Lord, like, the testimonies of people that were going to commit suicide, people that were drug addicts and now they're free. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing, that the truth is setting captives free. And this truth about creation you're using now to set many captives free. Please wake up the Christians and the ministers and the pastors to stop being ashamed of your word, to believe it, to take it for what it says, and to preach it and teach it boldly, and to stop worrying about what people think. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word, the Bible, the truth. I thank you for the fact that we can know the one true creator, God Almighty, who came in the flesh, who died on the cross for our sins, who rose from the dead the third day, the one who breathed and moved upon your prophets and apostles to write this book. You gave us the details, Lord, of creation, the details of salvation, how to inherit eternal life. You gave us the details about heaven, about hell, about the firmament, about your second coming. I thank you, Lord, for all the truths in your word. They are all important. We pray for you, the people out there, Lord, the ones that don't know you, the ones that have fallen away from you. We pray that they will come home. They'll come back. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Hug some necks before you leave. God bless you guys.